Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Have you ever heard anyone refer to the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, as the Christian Sabbath? We know the Jews observe the seventh day of the week as the Jewish Sabbath, and with good reason. The Lord commanded them to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20:8. Every Israelite who wanted to have God's blessings obeyed the Sabbath command. If the Jews violated the Sabbath by traveling too far, or by transacting business, or by disobeying in some other way, they were punished for their disrespect for God's inspired revelation. On the other hand, God promised a blessing to those who refrain from polluting the Sabbath. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold of it, that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeps his hand from doing evil. Isaiah 56:2. Some people who call themselves Christians must reason as follows. The Jews have their Sabbath, but the Jewish Sabbath has been removed. We must surely have a Sabbath. Since we cannot retain the Jewish Sabbath, we must observe the first day of the week as the Christian Sabbath. There is a very serious problem with that. There is absolutely no scriptural basis for such reasoning. It is true that we cannot, even if we want to, keep the Jewish Sabbath. We have no instructions, no regulations or guidelines for keeping the Sabbath. Besides, the Jewish Sabbath does not have the sacred meaning for Christians which it held for the Jews. It is the first day of the week, not the seventh, which has such importance to Christians. The Bible says that Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, that is, on the Lord's Day. When we meet on the Lord's Day, we are meeting to commemorate the death and the resurrection of our Lord. Acts 20 records Paul's journey to the city of Troas, where he stayed 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Acts 20:7. Paul wrote of our worshiping God by giving on the first day of the week. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so you must do. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. If Christians are to observe the Sabbath under the new covenant, is it not strange that it is not mentioned in any of these passages governing the worship of the early church? But since Jesus is our great example, and since he unquestionably kept the Sabbath, does that not suggest we also ought to keep it? My friend, Jesus Christ did not live under the new covenant. He was born and reared under the Jewish law. He began his personal ministry under the law of Moses. He died under the law. But when we come to the rules which govern our worship under the new covenant, we must turn to Acts of the Apostles and to the Epistles. They indicate that the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments, has been removed. We are living under the Christian era. I have just enough time to read one passage regarding the removing of the Mosaic law. Paul affirmed that the death of Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Colossians 2:14. Are we sure that Christ's death removed the Sabbath commandment? Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect to an holy day, or of the new moon, or of Sabbath days. Colossians 2:16. If we can no longer judge others on the basis of their Sabbath keeping, then surely the Sabbath commandment is no longer binding. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.